Scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Good morning. It's a blessing to be together this morning. Good to have a number of guests with us. We're glad you're with us. Good to see all of our members. First day of the week, the day in which Christ rose from the dead. I woke up this morning and I was looking at the sunrise outside and I was thinking, oh, this is beautiful. And those were some of my thoughts. I'm always taking a look at the scriptures and contemplating on a wonderful day it is to think of why we're here and why we assemble together as Christians. I thought it very important, especially coming into February, we think more about how we love one another. Think about our words and the things that we speak, what comes out of our hearts, what comes from our mouths. This is something we often need work on. I think about it. Throughout my life, I think some of those times that I remember back where I have like little scars on my memories, it's often things that I said or somebody said to me. Often it's something I said. I remember I said this. I remember what I said when I was 13 years old to my grandfather. I regretted it. He passed away the next year. I thank God I had the opportunity to be able to say to him before he passed, I love you and I care about you. The things that I said to you that were hurtful, please forgive me. So as we think about those words, you might think of the same things. You might think throughout your life, there's some things only God can forgive me of and I need his mercy and his grace. So this morning, we look at the subject of warning of words, a warning about how we speak. Words are very powerful. In fact, we see it in the fact that the gospel given to us in words, written in scripture, given to us in the Bible is powerful, able to save us. Words are powerful. The things we say to others, what we might say, it could degrade someone. It could bring someone to the point of where they look at themselves in a very lowly way. Of course, we want all people to have the confidence that God is who gives them value. But we as Christians need to be supporting that in the things that we say. As Chris read for us this morning from Ephesians, everything we need to say needs to be for edification. That means to build up. Yes, words are very, very powerful. I heard one person say, well, I said those things, but they're just words. That's not the way the Bible treats words. They're very important. And the instructions we have in the Bible is that we think about what we are saying. And we understand it. All right, this is what we're going to look at this morning. We'll take some observations right away from our exposition of Scripture. I want you to look at this. You have your Bible open to James chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Or maybe you have your Bible in front of you. Take a look at these passages. We're going to make some observations from the text. See if you see the same thing that I do. Let's go on and read that. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And James writes, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. They are so large and are driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, and yet it boasts of great things." The things we can say can direct where we go in our life. Look here, he continues to say, "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and a bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, and a grapevine produce figs? neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. One thing that stands out to me when we read these scriptures is the Christians in the first century had issues, sins that involved their tongues, their mouths, what the things that they said. And that should stand out to us that, yes, this is very important. It's something that should be spoken on, should be preached about, should be discussed. Here are my observations from the text again. Those who stumble, those who teach will stumble, and God will judge strictly. Everybody's ever spoken before, if you've ever done a Bible class, you've ever preached before, you've ever any kind of public speaking, and you've done enough of it, you realize I'm going to make mistakes, and I have, and I've made these errors. And the Bible warns us to be very careful about that and what we teach. The tongue is dangerous. It boasts of great things. Such a small thing, but boasting of great things is very dangerous. Restless evil, the scriptures call it, full of deadly poison. You ever thought about that? You ever thought that the words that you said that were evil or right, that were hurtful, that were insulting, that were blasphemous, were deadly poison? The tongue has evil, and it has blessing from God and the cursing of man. And it's certainly those who are able, who can bless God and yet curse man, sin. Here's the thing, as Christians, we read these things. We know the power of words. We know the power of the words in the scripture, in God's word, in the Bible. We know the power of the words of Jesus Christ. When we read the Sermon on the Mount, when we read Christ's parables, how they change us and they convict us. And yet as Christians, when our words do not resemble the same thing, there is a problem there. For some reason, we're excluding that. We're excluding ourselves from being like Christ. We know the power of words. And this is what we see. Here's that sinful conflict we're often involved in. We can see it today. Corrupt words reveal hypocrisy and hate. I remember growing up, and I remember some of the most hateful things that I have heard, even among family members. And I remember those words, and they never leave me. I never forget them. My whole life, the impression of hearing foul language or profanity has always been hate. When I hear those words, all I think and what the impression I get is, there's hate behind it. There's selfishness behind it. And when someone that I know, family, friends who claim to be Christians, gather in assembly and they worship God and they praise Him, and then they maybe even get up and speak or they serve in other ways, and yet when they come home, they speak in ways of hate. When they go to work, they do the same thing. They live in a life of hypocrisy. We want to stay away from that. As Christians, we want to be committed to not being a hypocrite, not being an actor, not demonstrating that kind of hate. You see, when the Spirit of Christ fills us and fills our hearts, there's no room for insults and profanity. And what we're going to see this morning, as we studied a few weeks ago about the heart, is that the words that we speak are a reflection of what comes from inside. One of the best things that works for me, the way that I can help myself to not say anything bad or to slander other people or to gossip, is to constantly think the best of other people. To really care about them, have compassion for them, to realize people have bad days. And when our hearts are right and when we're really loving people and we put away that resentment, there's no room, there's no place for those things to come out of our mouths. I have no place for complaints. I have no place for insults or profanity when I'm thinking what is right, when the Spirit of Christ is what is filling me, when He is within me. Why should Christians not speak corrupt talk? So this is our passage from this morning, our reading that Chris had for us. This is what we see from that text that was on the screen. Christians are to speak what is good for building up, that is edification, to give grace to those as hearers. That we see that corrupt talk grieves the Holy Spirit. When you use profanity, the Spirit dwells within you. It grieves Him. It breaks God's heart that we could speak to one another in that way. We want to put those things away. We want to do this throughout Ephesians chapter 4. We have a way of overcoming sin. When it comes to anger, when it comes to sexual sins, when it comes to these different things, when it comes to stealing, Ephesians says, I want you to put those away, but I want you to replace them. That's how you overcome them. And so when it comes to our tongue and the things that we say, we want to replace bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander with kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. In fact, let's look at those words a little bit closer here. In Ephesians 4, you have a list there in the passage listing these different things here. You have bitterness. What is bitterness? This is that resentment that comes out of your mouth. This is the constant complaining, talking about others even, that comes from us. What is wrath? Have you ever seen this before? I've experienced this. You ever had somebody who will yell at you and put you down? Abusive speech. That's wrath. Those are things that should not be a part of a Christian. It should not have a place in our home, and it shouldn't certainly have a place in the church at all. It shouldn't have a place in any part of our lives as Christians. And then we see the word anger here, meaning indignation. That boiling up. And then look at this word, the word for clamor. It's to degrade someone with yelling, to yell them down, to speak down to them. And then look at the other word here, slander, to revile, to defame, to gossip, to speak about others about behind their back, to speak abusive insults to them. That's the idea of these Greek words as we look through them in the New Testament. This is what we're looking at. That Paul said these things should have nothing to do with us as Christians. And look where they all come from. This has been my impression my whole life. These words, these abusive words, these profanities, these evil things that we can say, these insults, these slanders, where do they come from? They come from malice. They come from hate. Paul says that. That's where the corrupt speech comes from. Put it away from you. So why do some nominal Christians, so-called Christians, degrade people? Why do they do this? You've probably experienced it before. You've probably heard it before. I wonder. Oftentimes, my thinking is that they don't feel good about themselves. They're wrapped up in sin. They want to feel better than others. There's a lot of things we could put down in that list, but a lot of it really comes down to this. It's selfishness. It's a focus on self. I'm not going to let anybody else put me down or show me up. And they speak out against others. Well, this is what we see in the scriptures. On the day of judgment, this is what Christ said. He said, people will give an account for every word that they've spoken. You'll be justified or condemned by your words. That's what Christ said. Matthew 12, Luke 12. Go and read those passages. Listen to what Jesus revealed in Matthew 12 and verse 35. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I'm speaking things that I shouldn't be speaking, I need to think about my heart. What am I putting in? What music am I listening to? What movies am I watching? Who am I spending time around? I told you this before. I remember the one time that a whole bunch of words, bad words, came out of my mouth. I was 13 years old. A lot of things happened when I was 13, a lot of my sins. But when I was 13 years old, I remember going to school and the different school I went to, and all I heard was profanity all day. Heard it for about 2 weeks. I remember coming home one day. I was hauling this big French horn 2 miles. I had to walk home with it. Got home and put it down. The first thing I heard when I went in the door is my mom said, take out the trash. And for me, taking out the trash was a hard thing. It was a big trash compactor, and all the stuff was packed in there, and I was picking up that, felt like 50 pounds, and taking it out. And I remember when she told me to do that, the first thing that came out in my mouth when I went out the door was profanity, a whole bunch of it. I know where that comes from. And it comes from when we start allowing it, we start listening to it, and we allow those things to have a place in our heart. We want to put them away. And some people, I want to talk about this, some people degrade their children. They speak down to their children. They call them all kinds of things. They degrade their children, thinking that maybe this will humble them by the things I say to them. Maybe to motivate them, because this is how my dad spoke to me, or my father spoke to me, or my mother. Or maybe to make them stronger. There's no exception to what we say to our children, because we think it's going to harden them or make them a better person. To call them you're stupid, or to call them a moron. When Jesus says you call a man moron, you're in danger of hellfire, Gehenna. Or to tell them they're fat, or to talk about their looks, or to put them down in that way. God forbid. Or to say to their children, you ruin everything. You know, this is what we're talking about when we look in Ephesians chapter 6, just right after the chapter we read before. Ephesians 4 and 5, about the tongue. And here in Ephesians 6, fathers are not to provoke their children. Now, what does that mean? Well, as fathers, the things that we say around our children, when we say, I don't like this person, or the prejudice that we might say, or the profanities we might say, or the evil we might speak of others, or what we as men might say about women that we see, and our children hear that, it provokes them. Either one, it's going to continue on anger, or the sin of our words are going to continue on with them. That's provoking your children. And provoking them to anger is to express, I don't like this or that, and to be wrathful. To show contempt, those are the things we cannot pass on to our children. Again, Jesus said, anyone who calls someone a fool, the Greek word is moron, that person's liable to Gehenna fire. And that should be a warning to us. Is there any word like that? Idiot, fool, anything like that? We want to remove those from our tongues. Has no place for a Christian. No place in the home. No place in the church. No place in the Christian's life. And God hates the false tongue that speaks forth lies, that speaks behind other people's backs. That's what Jesus said. He says, and that's what God says. I hate the tongue that speaks lies. In Proverbs 11, verse 13, Solomon writes, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, and he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps the thing covered. And think about that. Probably been in the church long enough. You know that there's some people who talk, who speak about things, who talk about secrets, things that they're not supposed to be talking about. You know there's some people that go around and they ask, what do you know about this person? What do you know about that? Well, maybe I shouldn't tell you, but I will. Listen to this. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. You can see what the Bible says about slandering. Here's another passage, Proverbs 20, verse 19. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler. Proverbs 21 and verse 23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. I learned that very young. If I just keep my mouth closed, it does a lot better. When I don't have anything good to say, just like my mom told me, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. She's right. And that's coming from the Bible. See, if God's goodness and the Spirit of Christ fills our hearts, we're going to speak good things. When we think the best of other people, we're going to say good things. When we love other people, that's what's going to come out of our mouth, compassion. That's what we want. That's what we need in our hearts. And the Bible tells us how to address our enemies. Our enemies, you hear it. Maybe you're the other side. Maybe you're the victim. Maybe people are slandering you, abusing you, persecuting you. Maybe it's in your house or at church or at school or at work. You hear it. You don't know what to do with it. Jesus says this. This is where we begin. Love your enemies. I know what it's like to have someone speak against you behind your back, to slander you. And I read this scripture and I know this is what I will do. This is what Christ tells me to do. I'm going to love that person. I'm going to love them, and I'm committed to that. Jesus taught, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And for the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. You have that kind of conviction, that kind of faith. That takes faith to obey Christ in those things. I believe in him, and I'm going to listen to him. How can Christians counter these evil things with grace? Well, we've seen some of it from Christ's words this morning. But again, in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, we've seen this. We want to build up. We want to give grace in the way that we speak. We want to be kind. That's what Ephesians 4 says. Just be kind. There are a lot of kind people in this world, and a lot of them are not Christians. And as Christians, we have an imperative from God to be kind. And if I'm demonstrating that I'm a follower of Christ, what am I going to do? I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be tenderhearted. I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to sincerely care about others. I'm going to forgive as Christ has forgiven me. I want to. I want to release those sins. I don't want to hold grudges. Those are things that we can do to correct our hearts so that only grace comes from our mouth. Loving words are the response of a loving heart, a Christ-like heart. I want to leave you with that this morning. The wrong things are coming out of your mouth. Read the scriptures. Fill yourself with good things. Worship. Sing songs of praise. Study God's word. Spend time with other Christians discussing the truth. Talk to your family about what you believe in, your faith. Fill yourself with good things and speak well of everybody. In James 1 and verse 26, James says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Worthless. And in that context, he's talking about true religion. But if we say, I believe and I'm faithful and I follow Christ and our words show something else, again, James says, we're becoming a hypocrite. Let's not do that. This is how we overcome evil with good. We love our enemies. We pray for them. We speak kind words. We think the best of everyone that we can. And Paul says, by doing good, we overcome evil. This morning, if you need to repent from sins of the tongue, you need to make a change in your life, why don't you make a commitment now? Hope that you will pray to God and you will change your mind this moment between you and him, that you're going to change the way that you speak and the words that you say. You're going to change your heart. This morning, if you need prayers and encouragement, we want you to come. But if you're not a Christian, we want to offer you the invitation of the gospel. God loves us while we are yet sinners. In Romans 5 and verse 10, he shows us how he loves enemies. We were once his enemies. And Paul says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. You want a part of his life when Christ rose from the dead, that resurrected life to come on the last day, you need to become a Christian. That means you need to confess that Jesus rose from the dead and your faith in him. You need to repent of your sins, that is, bury the old person dead in the grave of baptism to rise up into newness of life. That's what we read about. That's obeying the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, Colossians 2. You need to obey the gospel. You need prayers. You need encouragement. We encourage you to come right now while we stand and while we sing. Please come.